Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Greater Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Jacob Sanderson, as always, on Thursdays as we break down the main DFS slates. We have more than one good game for fantasy football this week. Obviously, it looks like Miami and Buffalo is the game that most people are going to be tuned into. Sort of interesting that last week, the Giga Chalk shipped for everyone. And I do sort of feel like the week after the chalk absolutely hits, we're going to see just, I mean, everyone's playing Tua. Everyone's playing Josh Allen. Everyone's playing Diggs and Tyreek. And Waddle is back. He cleared the concussion protocol this morning. So we, and this is actually our first game. It's the first one in order on DraftKings. So let's just start here. How much Devin Achane are you looking forward to playing this week?
Oh my God, so much. By the way, after we did our Dynasty podcast last week, you guys like made me even more bullish, made me bullish enough to go ahead and ship my 25 first in my home league to bring Devin Achane, Oshane onto my team along for the ride. The vibes were immaculate. So we're going to play him. I think he's like probably objectively not a good play, right? Like he plays like 40% of the snaps and people are probably going to play him way beyond his projection. Not sure that I care. And definitely, I mean, every single player in this game is probably in play, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that so you would obviously have Allen and Tua. You'd have Diggs and Davis, Cook. Knox and Kincaid and Cook. You have Mostert, Achane, Hill, Waddle. I don't know if you can play Julian Hill. So it sounds like what happened.
No, I think Smythe got hurt.
Yes. So it's a hard read on that. I mean, if you can glean something from practice reports or whatever this week, you know, maybe you have a $2,500 Dolphins tight end to play. Honestly, that might even just be a little bit too thin though. Like Miami seems like an all-time concentrated offense.
I mean, we've now seen 3 weeks of one of Smythe or Hill basically running all the routes, and in none of them were they actually good. Like the best we got was 7 PPR points from Smythe in week one. So even if you do happen to hit the one, like first of all, it's possible that neither runs all the routes now. Like they might just actually rotate them or have role splits. And then even if you hit the right one and they do run all the routes, like they'll probably just have 2 catches. So it does seem a little bit thin to me.
They probably have to score twice, I would imagine. You know, that's how they get there. And I just don't, I mean, how many games is the Dolphins tight end scoring twice? My thought is Achane is like really Achane and Cook actually probably are the only two pieces of this game that will be like non mega chalk. Like everyone else will be, I think, quite owned. I mean, I think even Mostert right now looking at projected ownership. Yeah, I mean, less than 10% on Achane. And there is a plethora of mid-tier running backs, Zach Moss, DeAndre Swift, Rashad White, Ramondre Stevenson, James Conner, Damian. Like, there are a lot of $5,000 to $6,000 running backs, which I think keeps Cook, Achane, and Mostert from being, like, giga-owned.
I think Cook is probably the best play of all the running backs in this game, even like outside of ownership, just from like a pure projection standpoint, right? Like he's, you know, we have concerns with the goal line. He did get a carry inside the 5-yard line last week. He didn't score on it. And then he was summarily replaced, but I don't think it's impossible. Even in the first 2 weeks, he was getting carries inside the 10. Like he was getting carries from the 8 or getting carries from the 7. Like at some point he's going to score on some carry that's not inside the 5. And it's entirely possible he still gets one of those inside the 5 touches or they use him as a receiving package on the goal line. Like he's definitely going to have a way higher touch share than you can project for either Mostert or Achane in this game, or Achane. That's such a worse name.
Why does he want that? I mean, I guess, I don't know. Your name is your name, so I can't criticize it. The most important question I suppose to ask is, do you feel that this is a spot that is so good with the total so high with 2 passing offenses that are so concentrated? Do we just play into, you know, this week's version of Chargers and the Vikings?
I mean, we'll see where the ownership comes in total, but for now I'm thinking probably yes. Like, I think it's just try to get different kind of elsewhere. And I think the overstacks are again really in play. Like, I didn't play a ton last week, but that was, you know, kind of what I was talking about last week. If the possibility of doing a 4-2 in that Chargers and Vikings game, like, I think you could have gotten there with those types of lineups. And I think that's something I would look at here, where you can play the running backs from both sides and you can stack any of the running backs with the quarterbacks. Like, they're all involved as receivers. So I think it would be totally fine to play like Allen, Cook, Diggs, and then one of Gabe, Knox, or Kincaid, probably one of the tight ends, and then come back with either Hill or Waddle and one of the Dolphins running backs, I think is like totally workable. Or you can do it the other way with Tua. I can't see myself getting off of this game with just the way the Dolphins play. I think that they're just effectively unstoppable, to be honest. Like, I can't see them scoring less than like the mid-20s. And I think that Miami's defense has been entirely susceptible to everyone they've played, and especially Buffalo when pushed. Like, they're not going to dick around and run the ball. They're gonna have explosive plays. So I'm pumped to watch this game. And this feels like one that could.
Yeah, it could just go nuclear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it could just like go. I feel like you're in tough fading this game entirely.
Yes, I think that is accurate. I think the other thing is just like on a global level in the NFL, scoring is down, deep passes are down, explosive passes are down, really outside of the Dolphins and the Bills. You know, like, the Chiefs are not throwing it deep, the Cowboys aren't throwing it deep, the 49ers are this death machine, but they're not throwing it deep either. They kind of just nickel and dime you until you submit. So there is less worry that there's some other game you're missing that's going nuts. All right. So I think my favored way to play this is Allen, Kincaid, Waddle. That like gets you into a way more, and maybe I'll just lose.
That's
because
fun.
Diggs gets 27, Tyreek gets 30, but Kincaid is my gold star play from this game, where he is on the field a ton, running a bunch of routes. Him and Knox ran the same amount of routes. Sherfield and Shakir snaps went down against the Commanders. Hardy actually got 5 touches, but only played 9 snaps. So he's like basically Dexter McCluster on this offense. I think the Kincaid breakout is coming. He is my for sure favorite play from this game.
I think my favorite would be Tua, Tyreek, Waddle, Cook, Kincaid.
Yeah, I mean that is that's a big overstack, but that, I mean, it sets you up that like basically this is the only game that gets over 50 points.
Yeah.
The scoring is really concentrated. Actually, very similar to the Vikings and the Chargers in the sense of they do not use their peripheral players at all, really, and that is basically what happened.
The Dolphins is one of the only teams that you can stack both expensive receivers and I think feel fine, because like they don't throw to anyone else. So I think if Tua throws 4 touchdowns and 400 yards, like, it's entirely possible that both Hill and Waddle are like top 5 wide receivers.
So next game is the Minnesota Vikings against the Carolina Panthers. It's you know, it's a weird spot. The NFL, I saw someone tweet this, but the NFL is so weird in the sense of if you need to win a game right now, Andy Dalton's probably your better option, but Bryce Young can still be worth the number one overall pick. Bryce Young practiced on full on Wednesday. Sounds like he's going to be back. And also Adam Thielen and Miles Sanders are projecting as like huge chalk against the shitty Vikings defense at home. 21 and a half team total is their highest team total of the year through 3 games. Thielen chalk, I don't feel that good about. Like, I prefer Tank Dell for the same price and Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston for less. Sanders, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends. Like, I just like Swift so much more. But you could tell me that's like just being brain dead. That now that Sanders is getting these little Najee Harris-esque targets in the passing game, that actually he's like a totally fine play.
For 3 yards per. I mean, it's kind of happening, right? Like, it's happening on both. I think everybody's right. Like, the people that were like, oh, Sanders is going to get this workload, like, I guess they're right. And then the people like me that were like, yeah, but that's not going to work well for them. It's like also correct. It's just that they're insistent on doing it anyway. I'm probably not going to play the really high owned running back on the offense I don't trust, whose talent I don't believe in. That's just like a general process DFS take. So I will not be playing Miles Sanders. Thielen's fine. He projects well. I think like playing non-elite talent wide receivers into ownership is just like always bad, or really non-elite players, but especially non-elite wide receivers, I think. So I'm probably going to fade the Carolina side of this game. Like, I understand that the Minnesota defense is horrendous. I mean, Chark is probably going to come in with like how much less ownership than Adam Thielen. They had the same whopper last week because Chark's getting like more deep targets.
3% to 18% or something like that.
Right. And like they're both going to run all the routes. Thielen's going to have a higher projected target share, but Chark will have the way higher ADOT. So like, I don't really see a reason why I would play Thielen over Chark if I wanted to play someone in this game. I think he's actually like a really good play in this game because you're getting leverage off of Sanders and Thielen. And I think he projects like legitimately fine at 4K running all the routes in this really bad defensive matchup.
Okay. And then Madison is also fairly interesting because he was awful last week and was not benched. I mean, really the only time, and Cam Akers was just a healthy scratch. Like,
yeah, so they let's must assume, think Ty Chandler is the worst player they've ever seen.
They must, yeah. Okay, so let's assume Akers is active this week. I mean, Madison is still coming in as quite a good points per dollar play, but like not owned at all. I mean, like 10 to 15%. And I bet that's even high because I bet the guys who are really good points per dollar plays, Kyren, Moss, DeAndre Swift, I bet, and Jerome Ford, like I bet those guys end up getting more owned. Like I think Madison will be chalk last week, you know, basically like not quite get there, but I bet he ends up being sort of an ownership blind spot this week.
Yeah, I could easily see that. And it's a really good matchup for him. Yeah, it's an interesting spot. Like, I would also be more into the Vikings side if Andy Dalton played, just because I think like they play more pass heavy. They're more like of a fun team to stack in the game. This game just feels kind of fragile to me because I think Carolina can just be so brutal. Like, they just haven't moved the ball at all with Bryce Young that I could just see the kind of the life getting sucked out of this game where it doesn't move at as high of a pace as most of these Vikings carnival games go. So I don't really feel like playing the high owned pieces. I think you can like always play Jefferson. And I feel like this is probably a pretty low owned spot for Jefferson because so many people want to play Hill and Diggs.
Under 10% this week is my call. Yeah.
Right. Cause everybody's going to want to play Hill and Diggs. So I feel like if I'm playing someone from this game, I'm probably just taking advantage of playing like by far the best player in this game for at pretty reasonable ownership. Probably hard to construct lineups around that, but I do think if you wish to employ the services of Justin Jefferson, who's basically a lock for 150 yards every week, like it's not really a materially different spot than like what he had week one against Tampa when everybody wanted to play him. It's just that Hill and Diggs are in this massive game that everybody wants to play instead.
Correct. Yeah. So I think that like, for example, you can build a Anthony Richardson, Josh Downs, Puka Nacua, Justin Jefferson team with 2 5K running backs, a punt tight end, a cheaper defense, and still get like a non-vomit inducing flex play. And you could throw Waddle on that team. You could throw A-Chain on that team. Like you could still get pieces of that game with.
I definitely want one Jefferson. Of Cook, Mostert, or A-Chain on those Jefferson teams to try and take some of the life out of the Hill and Diggs.
Yep, I'm with that. All right, what do we have next? We have, oh God, the Denver Broncos traveling to play against the Chicago Bears. This will be Khalil Herbert's going to get some steam this week.
Really?
Maybe this is, I think so. I think the market will look at what the Broncos did on defense last week and be like, anyone can run on these chuckleheads, which I don't know, maybe is true. And he's
cheap. True.
And he will also not be one of these, like any non Kyren Williams, Miles Sanders, Zach Moss running back will probably be you'll get them at an ownership that you feel is acceptable, like whatever your stance is on those guys. So, you know, I can see it. I won't do it. I think if I was going to go real ballsy on any play from this game, it would actually probably be Marvin Mims at 3,900 and say, Sean Payton is just like, I've had enough of getting my ass kicked. I'm going to play my best player. And he'll probably run 12 routes and you know, be useless or whatever. But that was the first thing that leapt out to me about this game.
Yeah, I think like I tried the Justin Fields thing last week. All it brought me was pain and torture. I don't think I can do it this week just on an emotional level. But he's like, again, I think an objectively fine play because he does have rushing upside. He's playing a horrible matchup. I think you can play Ross.
I would just rather play Richardson, honestly. I would.
Yeah, no, totally fair. But he'll be more owned too. I think you can like legitimately play Russ doubles in this game. Like Russ has actually been fine this year. Everything else about the Broncos has been horrible. It's like the inverse of last year when the Broncos actually had a good team and Russ was just killing them. Now Russ has been totally acceptable and the team around him has collapsed, but the Bears defense is like just absolutely woeful.
Yeah.
So you can talk me into Russ. You can talk me into Javonte. I think this would be the Javonte spot for me. I've been wanting to play him all year just because I think that his role is like kind of a little bit better than what shows up in the snap rate, because they have to play the fourth quarter of every game, like in the 2 minute offense, basically, which is the P Ryan role. But this is probably the game where they get to potentially play from ahead the whole time. I think that really serves him well, where maybe he gets like, he's going to get the carries regardless, but he's always earned targets really well on early downs. And I think if the longer they get to play in their base offense, the more we get to see that come through. He'll be owned because Bears, but I think that there's enough guys in front of him that I think he'll probably come in like in around the 10 range, which I'm pretty happy to take that on Javonte. So probably rather play him than either the Bears backs. Like it's a good matchup, but they're like trending towards a 50-50 split, and Fields of course takes carries and the offense is bad. So I think it's like a pretty tough sell for me right now to click Herbert or Roshan, even at 4,700. Probably like no Javonte. And I think you could play Russ with like Judy and Sutton. I'm just not sure that I actually will do that.
I will not do that. That feels just, I don't know, it feels too thin. All the plays from this, like maybe you work in some of these guys if you're doing like 150 max, if you're in the millionaire maker or whatever, but they just don't. Like single entry, three max plays, they don't. No one from this game really feels all that good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, maybe it gets to a 46-point total. Maybe Russ cooks a little bit. Maybe Judy has a big game. Mims would be the only one that I would work in, just and acknowledging that that play doesn't work a huge chunk of the time. Like, you know, I do feel like the routes are coming, though. You can't be this good for this long and play behind Brandon Johnston, you know, like it doesn't really work. All right. The next game, Baltimore at Cleveland, super low total. I think I finally am not going to psyop myself into doing the Lamar Andrews thing, which means this is probably the week that they get there. Lamar was the second highest scoring quarterback in the main slate last week, but he did it all via rushing. He's not thrown for over 237 yards in any of these games. The Monken thing is happening a little bit, but not to the full extent. They lost the game last week, like on like basically like an operational error. Like they just messed up fielding a kick. They could have won and they didn't, which is like, I don't know. It just feels like the Harbaugh Ravens, like the last 3 years, have just found crazy dumb ways to lose games. They just have been running really bad.
They really do go full Chargers on occasion.
Yeah. Ford does seem totally fine to me here. Kareem Hunt did not practice on Wednesday. Now, he probably didn't practice on Wednesday because he's old, but Pierre Strong, like, really didn't play when that game was in balance at all. He took the final two drives when it was a three-score game. But and Ford also, you know, the thesis behind me wanting to play Ford last week was the passing game usage, and the passing game usage was there for Ford.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the Ford stuff is mostly fine. Like I've seen people cite his snap share and be like, yeah, like, but that's going to come down because, you know, we're Kareem Hunt in more. I mean, maybe this is just like bag defending. It probably is bag defending, at least in part. But I look at it and I'm like, they had snaps where Elijah Moore was in the backfield. They had snaps where Pierre Strong was still playing. They had like some blowout script at the end. They always don't really want their lead back to be more than like a 60% snap share. So I think Ford's role, at least for the time being, is probably fine where it is. And then Kareem Hunt maybe just like subsumes the Elijah Moore backfield snaps and Pierre Strong snaps before it kind of encroaching on Ford's territory. Could be wrong. I think he's totally fine to play. Baltimore's also really injured in the secondary. So I think they're like still kind of thought of as a good defense, but I don't think that the personnel that lends to that thought is actually available to them right now. Watson showed some signs of life last week against Tennessee, so I think he's playable in this spot. And like, I mean, David Njoku is just like not part of the plans, I guess, for whatever reason. So it makes it pretty easy if you do want to play Watson, you're just playing him with Cooper and Elijah or both.
Yeah, I mean, this does not feel like the game environment, you know, in a slate with a 53 total. I just don't like. I feel like if you run through sim stuff, which I'm going to do a little bit later,
it's not going to pop.
It's not going to pop at all. This would have to be you know, an I know ball play. Feels like actually a better spot for I know ball is the next game, the Steelers Texans game.
Yes. Yeah. That one's an interesting spot.
Well, the Steelers are a road favorite. The Texans have not been scared of anyone. I mean, they've stayed chucking the ball against the Jaguar. Like, it doesn't matter to them. Stroud looks really impressive. Dell, I think, is super interesting this week because I don't think is going to be that owned. I think his price raised enough. We've got, you know, Atwell's 5,500, Downs, Palmer, QJ, Thielen, Calvin Austin, even in this game. Like, I think Dell is going to project for, you know, 12, 13 points on most sites and 10 to 13% ownership. But I don't know, man. It might be like one of those things where it just, like Puka or like Tutu, where he's this guy with no expectations coming into the season, but he might just be the best target earner on that team.
Yeah, it's totally possible. I mean, he's been legit. And the way you play Pittsburgh is you have to throw them on them. They're a really good run defense, and they're going to generate pressure. Like, I think the Pittsburgh defense is like firmly in play, even though I like Stroud, because they're going to generate pressure on this offensive line. But I think you can throw on them and get deep on them. So I'm totally fine playing either side of this. This is like one of those games where I kind of wish Deontay was there, just because then it'd be a little bit easier to talk myself to the Pittsburgh side, because they really only have Pickens. Freiermuth has not been a major part of the plans, but you could probably play him as a bring back if you're doing Stroud stuff. I'm pretty all in on Stroud, just like watching him. He looks extremely legit. And yeah, you have Dell, who's running deep routes. You have Collins, who's now going to not be played because he had a really bad week last week. I don't know that, like, I actually think that differently about him because of a 1 week sample. Like, we had him as the flag plant 2 weeks ago, and he was great. And then he was owned and he flopped. Now he won't be owned. I think that Stroud, Dell, Collins is like super in play this week. I like that more than like the Russ stuff. I like that more than the Watson stuff for sure.
What do you make of Calvin Austin? 6 targets in week 1, 4 targets in week 2, 6 targets last week, only caught 2 of them, 1 for 0 yards, 1 for a 72-yard touchdown. I think my original thought, I added him a bunch. I was actually going through waivers last night, and he's on like literally every team I have. I bid on him for like $1 after Deontay got banged up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, my original thought was, oh, he'll just be Deontay. He'll run 3-yard routes and have like a bunch of 6 for 18-yard games or whatever, just like crappy Steeler stuff. But the long touchdown, the deep target, does make me feel a little bit more intrigued about him, especially at 3,300.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, I just have no idea if like he's actually any good. But I think he's probably better than Allen Robinson, and he seems to have an interesting role. So I agree. If you were like playing this game, I think he's in play, probably still third on my list. If I'm playing this game, I think it's from the Stroud side, not the Pickett side. So I'm probably only playing one Pittsburgh player. And I think I would rate those probably Freiermuth one, just because I would prefer to just like occupy the tight end slot through my game stack, and then probably Pickens two. And Austin would be a distant third, but I think it's like, I won't be playing like 150 lineups, but if I was, he would probably get into a couple of them.
Yeah. All right. Next game we have, let's see. Oh, big spot. Actually, the Los Angeles Rams traveling to play against the Colts in the Dome. So we've got Kyren, almost owned running back, Nacua, who actually saw a price increase. He's up to 6,700 after a quote-unquote disappointing game in week 3. What do you have, like 6 for 65 or whatever in a down spot?
5 for 72.
Yeah, 5 for 72 in a down spot. Atwell gets the touchdown last week, actually unjustly had a touchdown called back where I don't think he stepped out on the end around, but they said that he did. We got Anthony Richardson, Michael Pittman Jr., Zach Moss, and Josh Downs. I mean, these are all plays that are getting some ownership. I think playing into this game, doing, you know, Richardson, Downs, Atwell, Kyren is totally a fine way to play it. I mean, Kyren Williams played every snap at running back last week for the Rams, every last one. No Ronnie Rivers, no Royce Freeman, no Zach Evans. Like, you don't really get that all that often. That's about to say, and Zach Moss, literally the same thing, If that game didn't have so many total plays, it would have been he played every snap the week before, and then he gave up 4 touches to Trey Sermon last week in that marathon game. But, I mean, The Dolphins, I guess a lot of people will probably play pieces from this game and from the Dolphins-Bills game.
Yes, this is kind of this is your mid-price option. Like, this is your Holiday Inn stack, and the other one is your Ritz-Carlton stack. I have no idea if you guys have the same hotels that we do in America, so I'm not
we
sure.
get,
I
we
think
have
that
we
those.
have Ritz-Carltons here.
That's great. Okay, I think that, I'll play every part of this game. I think Kyren is it's tough because he is kind of a trap play in that he sucks. And that the way to play the Colts is not to run the ball, right? You think about how the Colts defense is constructed, DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart is, I think, and I'm a homer, but I think that's the best interior defensive line combination in the entire NFL. You won't have success running inside against that. And McVay has shown a willingness to just ignore running the ball. They had 9 carries on Monday night. So I think that it's really easy for Kyren to fail, in that I think you're probably only looking at 3 to 4 points on the ground, and then the rest has to come through touchdowns and receptions. Can still totally get there with that. But I think my preference is if I'm playing this game and I know Kyren's going to be super owned, and I think he's a fine play, would just be to go Stafford, Puka, Tutu.
I mean, I don't know if I can play Stafford, because it feels like Puka and Tutu can get there while Stafford gets 21 or whatever. It feels like I would just rather play Richardson with those guys.
I mean, that's totally workable too. I'll play Richardson as well. But I think Stafford can get to 303.
I mean, he definitely can. And I mean, we've noted on this show multiple times how bad the Colts secondary is. And it is pretty bad.
It's a little bit improved because they finally stopped playing Daryl Baker Jr., who may or may not be a member of Foreigner. And they finally started playing their second round pick, Juju Brents. And he came in and it made a massive difference last week. So I do think that their secondary is a little bit better as they've shuffled the personnel around. But it's still bad. And definitely... Stafford can do damage against this. And I think they are going to be forced to the air. I don't think the Rams are not a good running team anyways. I don't think they'll have any success running the ball against the Colts. And I think the Colts will totally keep pace with them. I expect this to be a close game. So I think I would play this through the air. I do agree with you. You don't really have to play Stafford, even to play both Tutu and Puka, because that's kind of where the ball's going anyway. A lot of that's just PPR volume. And you can just play basically the Ram stack, but just play Richardson instead. And that seems like a totally acceptable way to do things. If you're playing Richardson, you don't even really have to stack him. I think you want to. Probably Pittman, but I think Downs is super in play too.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the thought out there that Downs has only been getting targets because of Minshew. And I mean, more of his targets, I think 25% of Minshew's throws have gone to Downs, but Down still at a 16% target share in the first game and ran a ton of routes. He's out there. So I agree, you would with Fields and Lamar, it's been in the case in the past that you don't actually want to stack them. But I think Richardson throws well enough and often enough, and the Colts play fast enough that his real ceiling games are going to come with one of the wide receivers coming along with him. So I do think you want to stack him. And this does seem like a pretty good bring back spot, just because Atwell and Nacua project so well and are literally not subbing off, much like Kyren, are literally not leaving the field, which I don't know, that adds a target or two to your baseline.
Oh, for sure.
Playing 95% of the snaps instead of 70. All right. I'm going to divorce from the market on this next spot, the Buccaneers against the New Orleans Saints. Jameis is playing a quarterback, and this is the nut revenge spot for him. I can't even remember if Jameis as a Saint ever played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll go and look that up here real quick. But what I do know is that Jameis is an awesome fantasy quarterback. That's literally what he does. So last year he did actually, he started in week 2 for New Orleans at home to Tampa Bay. They lost that game, but he threw 40 times. If you get 40 pass attempts for him here, throwing to Olave, Shaheed, and Michael Thomas, I predict good results.
Yes. I'm not sure I'll get all the way there. I mean, it's hard. There's kind of a bunch of stats that I feel like this week where I'm like, I could play that. Like, that's how I felt about Stroud. That's how I felt about the Russ. I feel kind of similarly about Jameis. I think I'm Jameis over Russ under Stroud in terms of this. I definitely like Stafford more, and I like Stroud more. And I like the Bills and Dolphins stuff more. So I don't know. I probably won't get to Jameis, but I think you could play him. And I mean, the ball's going to Olave and then Thomas and Shahid. So you're picking two. Curious what you think of Kamara first week back, like 6,100.
Oh, yeah.
And they haven't really gotten anything out of the running game. So I think it's like very possible that he just gets absolutely force fed here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if you're watching Monday night, but the vaunted Tampa Bay run defense is no longer very vaunted.
No, it was not. It was not very vaunted. DeAndre Swift was taking them to task. And we're going to talk about Swift here in a little bit. Yeah, I hadn't even really processed the Kamara stuff, but it does feel, I mean, this will probably be the healthiest and most spry he will be all year. I mean, a vintage Kamara game, you know, 22 rushes and 5 targets or whatever at this salary, if that's just the direction that they decide to go, which they very easily could do, you know, because Jamal Williams is on the IR, Tony Jones stinks, Kendre Miller, I mean, he was fine, you know, and I didn't do anything that like leapt off the screen to me in his first audition. Mm. Like we could see a lot of Kamara. And then, you know, we have the Marshawn Lattimore versus Mike Evans, historical data. I mean, I'm not much of a Mike Evans guy this season anyways, despite the fact that he's like looked amazing in every game they played. This does feel like more of a Godwin spot. White would be the one that I'm not going to play relative to the field. Like any Rashad White team could just be a DeAndre Swift team, and I'd just rather do that.
I won't be doing the Rashad White thing. He's just not good. So I think I'm only going to play that volume into like a really good matchup, and this is not one. I'm fine with, Mike Evans at 7K, it feels like Tom Brady's back in our lives, hey? Like
right.
That's a tag.
He's expensive. It's been touchdown driven. Yeah.
He's just been great. I mean, he's legitimately alpha and Chris Godwin for sure. But I think that's a bridge too far for me. I don't see myself playing any member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week.
Yeah. All right. DeAndre Swift, home game against the Commanders. I think the total usage numbers lie a little bit in the sense that I don't really think there can be any question that DeAndre Swift is the lead rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that if they ever do plan on handing it off to a running back in goal-to-go situations, maybe they just will never do it because the push play is just that good and it just like literally cannot be stopped. So you have to factor that in. But I mean, back-to-back, 175, 130 rushing yards. They're also using him like a little bit in the passing game. You know, he's running a little bit more routes. Like I just think they realize what they have in DeAndre Swift, which was sort of a question to me coming into the year. Like I did not know if they would, you know, and it seemed like they didn't in week one. You know, they're playing Boston Scott ahead of him in week one. And then I guess it's just one of those, you got to see it to believe it. And he runs so good in that Thursday night game against the Vikings, does it again against the Buccaneers. And yeah, it's wheels up for Swift. This might be the cheapest main slate price you'll get on him until he gets hurt.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely a play. I think you could kind of play all the Eagles, actually. Like, the Washington defense is pretty ass, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because they played the Cardinals week one and they played fine, but it's the Cardinals, who are better than we thought, but they're still not like a good offense. And then they got absolutely lit up by the Broncos, and then they got obliterated by the Bills. And you could definitely see this as a spot where it's like, you know, the Eagles and the Bills are like basically the same offense, but everybody wants to play the Bills because it's the more fun matchup. But there's no reason why the Eagles couldn't just pile up 42 points on the Commanders. So I think it's totally fine to play like Hurts doubles or Hurts Swift. They haven't really used them in the passing game that much, but in theory they could. Hurts Swift and one of Brown or Smith is totally fine with me too. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like one of those ones where in my mind, it's a legitimately good play to play Hurts this week because I just think you're kind of getting a little bit under, but yes. I don't know that I actually will.
He's like the Justin Jefferson play. He's exactly. like the Justin Jefferson play at quarterback, where it's like everyone, yeah. like if you're spending up on a quarterback, you're playing Allen or Tua, like it's, he will be even in like really sharp contests, like, you know, the Thunderdome or whatever, we're talking mm-hmm. about like maybe 10% or whatever. Yeah. Also, I mean, Commanders bring backs, like, yeah, Howell's been sacked like every third play or whatever, but this Eagles passing defense has been really bad. Every team they played has been able to pass on them. You know, McLaurin, Dotson, Samuel, sounds like Logan Thomas is going to be back this week. I would probably say Dotson, but Howell like forgets he exists in the second half of games.
Yes, it's pretty tilting. I have Dotson in my home dynasty league and my panic meter is rising for sure. I don't think you need to play Commanders bring back play Philly, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think you need to. I just am like, this to me, this seems like a spot like Mac Jones in week one, where you're down 15 yeah. points, like, so you're just simply chucking and the guys get there on passing volume.
Yeah, I mean, Dotson's right. a fine play, right? It's, he's 4,800. He's a talented player and no one's going to play him. So that seems probably good.
Yeah. All right. Next game, we've got, I don't really know what to make of this game. The Bengals against the Titans. I mean, I do know I'm not playing any Titans. I'm not playing Hopkins. I'm not playing Burks. I'm not playing Chig. I'm not playing Henry. Titans defense, maybe, if Joe Burrow looks as bad as he did. And then, I mean, you want to talk about wide receivers that no one's going to play. People aren't really going to be that into Justin Jefferson. I mean, I'm seeing early PM that's kind of high on Ja'Marr Chase. I don't buy this at all. I don't think people will want to play any Bengal. And if that is true, if that is the case on Chase, then T is going to be like 3% owned.
Definitely. Yeah, I think, you know, it's the Tennessee pass funnel, right? So right. I think it's pretty viable to play Burrow stuff. It's just, yeah, is he going to look like, at what point is he going to look right? And I guess like we're, at some point he's just going to look like Burrow. And then the next week everyone's going to own him. So I feel like you probably need to get in early. This is probably a good week for it. Kind of all the exact same stuff that we just said about the Eagles, where you're getting these good offenses and not, people aren't as interested because this one game is sucking up so much of the oxygen in the room. So this, I think I'm going to have to figure out one of this Bengals spot or this Philly spot as like the thing that I'm going to really focus on. And I think maybe this Bengals spot, if I had like a level of confidence in Joe Burrow's health, it's probably the better spot because you're getting this perfect matchup with the Tennessee yeah. defense. You know exactly who to play. It's Chase and Higgins, or at least Chase and, I don't know, nothing. I'm just not sure I trust it because they've been so freaking bad this year, right? Like that's kind of the hard sell for me. So I also have no idea who you play coming back from Tennessee. That offense has been a disaster.
No, you don't play anyone.
I think you don't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just totally leave it. Yeah. It sucks, but you know, it is.
Maybe you just one off really T Higgins. Maybe that's what I'll end up doing. Just the one off T Higgins. He's gonna be not owned. I mean, you know, with T Higgins, like he's either getting 25 or he's getting 5. So
or zero. You just roll the dice. Or just zero. 8 targets, 0 receptions. I'm not going to do this, but I could galaxy brain myself into the Bengals can't pass. So it's just Derrick Henry, 27 carries game. I don't think I can gal brain myself there, but I see that as a possibility, but I will not be playing into that, mostly because of our next game. I will just keep playing into Pollard getting 90% of the snaps at running back. I know Dowdle scored the screen touchdown last week, but like, Pollard had a bad fantasy game last week and got 18 DraftKings points, like had like a very frustrating game and still got the 100-yard rushing bonus. It's a very similar spot this week. Dallas has clearly shown they don't fully trust their passing game right now, whether that be offensive line stuff, whether it be they just have not figured out what they want to do with the new offensive coordinator. Cooks is in, then he's out, then Tolbert's rotating in, Gallup's getting 7 targets. Like, they just don't know what their plan is. Like, they fully plan on continuing to run the ball a ton with Tony Pollard.
Yeah, and I think, like, I don't know. I think it's just that he didn't score a touchdown. He still had over 5 yards per carry last week. Like, he's been fine. He has not been, like, the electric Tony Pollard that we've come to know and love. And I think part of that is just he's getting, like, a bunch of dust that carries between the tackles, where it's hard to do much more than just run for 4 yards. but I don't think that he's looked like bad or anything like that. He's still been a perfectly good running back. It's just it's hard now when we're in a different role. I think he's probably the only part of this game I would play, right? Like, I don't think I have any interest
Cowboys defense.
In the Dak stuff. Yeah, you can play Cowboys defense. You can even play Patriots defense if you want to. I don't have any interest in the Dak stuff. Like, CD at low ownership is always interesting, but like, I don't know. You can play Jefferson at low ownership. Like, I don't need to play CD at low ownership. But AJ Brown. So I'll probably be Pollard alone, I think, in this game. And you certainly don't need to run it back with a New England Patriot. I mean, they might just get totally obliterated in this spot offensively. Their offensive line is horrible. And Micah Parsons is going to eat Mac Jones alive.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be I don't forecast good things for Mac Jones here. I mean, it would be a very Cowboys spot to lose this game, and I hope they give up a fluky touchdown early. I was I was originally excited when the Cardinals were up at halftime there, right?
Because we're going to get three touchdown drives from the Cowboys in rapid succession, but that was not what happened.
And they just kept kicking field goals.
And they kept taking like extremely long drives. And then they would result in field goals or turnovers on downs. And it was just like, man, like, this is just doesn't feel like this is a good plan for how to function here.
Yeah. All right. Final game. Actually, you wouldn't know this by looking at ownership, but the highest team total of the week is the San Francisco 49ers at 29.5. Again, McCaffrey is just not going to be that owned because of Tyreek and of Keenan and Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams, who I mistakenly skipped over that game. Let's go back to this game real quick because I went over it here. The Raiders and the Chargers. Devontae Adams at 8,000. Jam. Let's say Austin Eckler doesn't play this week. Do you have it in you to play Josh Kelly for one more week?
Man, like, I have such two competing parts of my brain when it comes to things like this. There's like me DFS brain, and then there's just like running back analysis / dynasty talent evaluator brain. And like the talent evaluator brain is like, I cannot possibly play this absolute sloth in my lineups again. But the DFS brain is like, Josh Kelly against the Raiders, no ownership. Like, that seems like a good idea. I did it last week and it felt horrible. And I think the problem is, like, basically last week it felt like they were like, all right, you're still gonna get all the snaps because we don't like any of our other running backs enough to not give you the snaps, but we also don't like you, so we're just going to abandon the concept of the rush.
He played 24, he blocked pass blocking 24 times, the most of any running back in any game this season. Like, that's like Mike Allstott.
He's just like, he's Daryl Williams to them.
Yeah. It's not even Daryl Williams. Daryl Williams got targets in the passing game.
That's true. Okay. He's like Kyle Juszczyk to them.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. What was it?
Yeah.
What
Kyle
was it?
11 Juszczyk.
11 carries for 12 yards. I mean, that's a tough scene. I think you can play Kelly. I probably won't. I think the big question is, what are you doing at wide receiver? Because all of the people on Twitter this week are rushing to say, like, we have to pick up Josh Palmer off the waivers, not Quentin Johnston. Quentin Johnston's dust. It's over for him. I mean, he definitely projects better this week. He'll, of course, be more owned. Even if
Johnston,
clearly Johnston's going to be behind Palmer in routes, but he's probably still going to run 65 to 70% of them, right? I like really want to play him.
Yeah, I'm gonna flag plant Quentin Johnston as better than Calvin Austin or whoever. Like, maybe it doesn't happen, and maybe this is Marvin Mims part two where fucking Donald Parham is running more routes or whatever. You know, totally possible. In fact, maybe even probable that they just play a ton of 12 personnel here, especially if Garoppolo doesn't play, and this is Brian Hoyer and the Raiders can't get anything going on offense. But the Devontae Adams, Quentin Johnston, skinny correlation is like just really calling my name. I can't. And I mean, actually the way you lose is they play this Darius Davis guy instead of a QJ, which would just be so brutal.
That would be really painful. I would not enjoy that.
Feels like that's what's going to happen. But still, I mean, let's say because I was having this argument with someone about JSN, which is like, they were saying like, oh, you know, every game that he doesn't play, it becomes less likely that he breaks out. And I actually think it's the opposite, that like the rookie stuff often comes in an unexpected way, whether it be in-game injury or a guy drops a pass or runs the wrong route and they're just like, whatever, let's play the rookie. Very rarely do you get a clear signal that the rookie is the guy until it actually happens. And so, yeah, if the team comes out and says on Friday, Quentin Johnson's starting, we believe in him, Josh has been a good guy, but it's time for the first round rookie to go, that like triples his projected ownership or whatever. But they're not going to say that. He'll actually probably say the opposite. Like the coach will be like, you know, QJ's got to earn his stripes or whatever. But it just feels like a very good spot to deploy him.
Yes, I totally agree. I think he's going to get a chance. He's their first round pick and Mike Williams is out and they're going to give him a shot. Like, I mean, Josh Palmer is basically KJ Osborne.
This is literally why they drafted Quentin Johnson, because they knew Mike Williams couldn't stay healthy.
And because they knew that Josh Palmer isn't actually good. Right?
Yes. Like,
I think that Josh Palmer is basically KJ Osborne. And Jordan Addison's been playing behind KJ Osborne. And no one thinks that means that Jordan Addison sucks, because yeah, KJ Osborne was number two because they let Thielen walk. Like, now Palmer's in the, now Johnson's in that same spot where it's like they have one actually good receiver. They have like a shitty receiver who they're going to play ahead of him because he's a veteran and it's early in the season. And then Johnson's going to run the third most routes, but he's going to be the second best receiver. And so, like, to me, we're basically just getting Jordan Addison against the Raiders at $3,700. I mean, that's like overly simplistic and we haven't seen Johnson actually do it yet, but I think that there's like a very thick slice of the range of outcomes that we're basically just getting $3,700 Jordan Addison against the Raiders and people aren't super excited to play it. I will play him in almost every single lineup. I was honestly planning to flag plant him until you said that you were going to flag plant him. So we're very, very aligned on this.
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, the flag plant last week was Jahmyr Gibbs, which did not work out.
Well, mine was Justin Fields. So
yeah. Well, yeah, it is. You know, it is what it is.
Hey, Nico, we'll always have Nico Collins in week two.
We did. And I had Bijan week one, which is like, grading that on a curve. I'm going to give myself a B- for that one. All right. Yeah. Now the final game, the 49ers at the Cardinals. McCaffrey seems like Debo is legitimately banged up. So maybe you work in a little bit of Ayuk, a little bit of Kittle, but these are the only fantasy relevant players. And I just like, maybe you could psyop yourself into a Hollywood Brown bring back or whatever, because Dobbs has looked a little bit competent, but Michael Wilson ran more routes last week. He is the downfield guy. Like, he is earning the deep targets. They're not really doing that with Hollywood Brown. And then the Zach Ertz thing, like, I just, any Zach Ertz team could just be a Dalton Kincaid team. I'm not doing that either.
No, I think we've moved on from Zach Ertz. Like, society had use for Zach Ertz for 2 weeks. We've moved past the need for Zach Ertz now. We're all the better for it. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play this game. I guess if Debo misses, then everyone on San Francisco becomes like a way better, right?
I mean, maybe theoretically, but I think in practice, it just makes the offense a little bit worse and it concentrates the ownership. So like, I think in theory, if you have a take, you would actually prefer him to play, or prefer him to play banged up even, just prefer him to be out there for half the snaps. Because if Debo does not play, and if we know at noon that he's not going to play, let's see, what is Ayuk? Yeah. Ayuk is 6,200. I mean, then he becomes like a 17% owned play or whatever.
Right. That's actually the correct take. It's like so much of the San Francisco stuff is like, realistically, they can go into the game and scheme the plays to whomever Shanahan desires on a given day. So if Debo plays, but is playing injured, Shanahan's going to be like, okay, this is not, you know, this isn't the game that we're going to scheme everything to Debo. We're going to scheme it to the healthy players. And you're right. You totally want him active so that it keeps Kittle and Ayuk's ownership in check. And then that's who you play, or McCaffrey. Obviously, McCaffrey is like just mega in play every week. So,
yeah. I mean, do you want to play James Conner? Do you got any of that? Yeah.
Do I want to play James Conner against the San Francisco 49ers? Not particularly.
Yeah, I don't either. Okay, flag plants for me. Quentin Johnston, DeAndre Swift as the best running back play, period. So I don't care if he's 19% owned. I'm gonna absolutely jam him. Those are my two big stances.
Okay, my top play of this massive Miami Buffalo game is basically everyone, but especially James Cook will be the most frequent member of my Miami Buffalo stacks, and he'll also be a frequent member of my fade Miami Buffalo stacks. So that's going to be one flag plant. My other one is going to be the Puka Tutu Stafford stacks. I think we get the chance to take advantage of this Colts pass funnel in a way that won't be super, super owned this week. So we're doing the Rams. We're doing the James Cook. And I'm just going to like co-sign the Quentin Johnston flag plant that I think that he is probably someone that I'll play in like 80%+ of my lineups this week. I just think it's an absolute smash play in this spot.
Yeah. All right, guys, we are going to get out of here. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.